Good evening, everyone. This is Troika St. Germain with the Ascension Secrets of St. Germain show. How are you all this evening? I had quite a few requests to continue with the information and the techniques about changing one's abundance level from last week. So I thought I would go ahead and do that this week. And I have been out running around all day, so I have not been able to take too many notes or prepare. So I hope I can fill up an hour. And, of course, you're all free, and not only free to call, but very much invited to call in with questions and comments and whatever during the show. And the phone number, if you're in the United States, the toll-free number to call in is 877-876-5227. If you live in Canada, your toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And if you're hanging out in Northern California and want to bypass all the busyness of the toll-frees, just call direct to Paradise, California. Don't you love that? Paradise, California, where the number is 530-876-3222. So, I don't really remember where I left off when I realized I didn't have any time left last week, but I think I was talking about my own personal situation as an example. And how when I got into deep financial despair by living in lovely but desolate Mount Shasta, California, I had to really learn how to stay out of fear about not having money and about not being able to pay my bills. And like I said, it took me 5 years, almost 5 years, to really, really do that. It wasn't a struggle for the 5 years. It was, you know, like a slow upward trend. But still, the process for me to totally transform my thoughts about money and my knee-jerk reaction to being worried about not having money to pay the bills and reacting to the third dimensional reality, which I will call the illusion. But, you know, that illusion that we live in is so very, very real to us most of the time. But that's one thing that helped me, is realizing and accepting that this is just an illusion and that this is not the truth, and not to buy into it. And not to buy into the fact that the third dimensional illusion at times was showing me to have $65,000 in credit card debt, no real money coming in, and a mortgage to pay and utilities and all of that good stuff, and the payments on the credit card, and with not nearly enough money coming in to do it. That was the third dimensional illusion. And I had to learn to, not just mentally, but with my whole entire being, to ignore that illusion and not buy into it, and know deep within my heart and my soul and every fiber in me, every cell in my body, had to know and be in agreement that our source, that our financial prosperity and abundance and livelihood and everything came from the divine source and not the third dimension, and to believe that wholeheartedly, that the money would come. And it did, and it still does, and it continues to do so, and I don't even think about it anymore. I really don't. You know, I just know that it's there. And so another way to help shift that third dimensional illusion or the fear of what the third dimensional illusion is showing, if you're one of the people that, you know, never quite has enough to make it from month to month and doesn't have the money to pursue your dreams and your goals and your projects, is to stay in present time. That's what I learned. Instead of looking at, I have $65,000 in credit card debt, and look at that whole big mountain. I mean, $65,000 is overwhelming and just scary. And when I was looking at that, at the figure, and the overall, how am I going to pay that, and looking at the whole big thing, it was too much for me to handle. But if I looked at what I had to do that month, you know, on the 10th of the month is when I decided to pay all my bills, on the 10th of each month. So I just had one day of misery and just forgot about it the rest of the time. Or one day of victory, depending on how you look at it. Each and every month, one way or another, being sometimes creative, sometimes unexpected money coming in, whatever, each month I was able to pay for that month's bills on that particular day. So in present time, if I looked at that particular day, I was fine. My bills were paid. No one was asking me for the entire $65,000. You know, one credit card was asking for maybe $200. One was asking for $100. You know, all totaled, it wasn't that terribly bad. And so if I kept my consciousness on just present time, in present time, I was okay. All my bills were paid, and I was fine. And I had to keep remembering that. In present time, right now, at this moment, I am fine. And, of course, present time is where all the magic happens and where all of the universe can come in and support you. When you're worried about the past or not, you know, kicking yourself in the butt for what happened in the past. Why did I do that? I should have never done that. I should have done this instead. And, you know, and hashing over the past, you're not in present time. You're in the past. Nobody, no thing, no, and spirit cannot help you when you're focusing on the past. Likewise, when you're focusing into the future, looking at, as I was doing, saying, oh my God, $65,000, how am I going to pay this? And look, you know, and projecting into the future, what am I going to do next month? And what am I going to do the month after that? And how am I ever going to catch up? I was not in present time. I was projecting into the future, and I was projecting negativity into the future in the form of, I'm never going to be able to pay this. How am I going to do this? With the how not being a, okay, God, show me the way to do this, which is a good thing to do, but oh no, how am I ever going to pay this in a negative sense? So again, I was not in present time. I was projecting negativity into the future, and I could not help myself. Spirit could not help myself, you know, me. None of that can happen unless you are in present time. So whatever you have to do to keep your focus in your life in present time as to how things are just this moment, and that goes for your health and for abundance and for relationships and for, you know, all aspects of life, is focus on present time, stay in the moment, and then things can happen and magic can happen and your life can change and divine inspiration can come in. And, you know, and when I was in present time with the finances, you know, that's the time when I would ask, you know, how am I going to do this, only not in a negative way, but show me, you know, and rather than how, a good word to use is show me. Okay, God, okay, spirit, okay, universe, whatever, you know, title you want to give to whom you are speaking, or, you know, your higher self is really where it's coming from, so might as well just say, okay, higher self, you know, show me how I can change my situation. Show me what I can do. show me right now what I can do in this moment. And then after that moment, okay, now show me in this moment. And, you know, and follow that guidance that you receive in present time about present time. And you'll make baby steps that when you look back in a short amount of time, those baby steps have become giant leaps. And here's another little secret that's in the present time mode. And I learned this from one of my teachers about 20 years ago or so. And it works. It really works. And that is to carry a $100 bill on you at all times and never spend it. And keep it folded up somewhere in your wallet or the ladies in your purse or wherever where you're not going to really see it or be tempted to spend it. But you have it. And if you do that, and the $100 bill is, it's important to have a single $100 bill as opposed to 10 $10 bills or 100 $1 bills or 5 20s because of the power of numerology. The one is the one. You know, the one spirit, the one God, the one love, the one that we all are. And then zeros add strength and a boost to that one. You know, if you can carry $1,000, if you can get a $1,000 bill, they're very rare. They do exist, but they're very, very rare and hard to get. But the more zeros you can get, you know, the more power and the more punch that one has. But, you know, just a $100 bill will suffice. And carry that with you because as long as you have that $100 bill with you, in present time, you are never poor. You are never broke. You are never without money. In present time, you have money. You have abundance. You have prosperity. You have, I mean, okay, you can't go out and buy a Rolls Royce with it, but, you know, $100 at a moment is usually enough money to cover what you need for that moment. You know, gas, food, you know, a little trinket, you know, a flat tire on the freeway, you know, whatever. So, and then have that knowledge. When you start worrying about money or start thinking about it and pulling yourself out of present time, use that $100 bill and that knowledge that you have it to say, wait a minute, I have a $100 bill. I am not broke. I have money in present time. And it becomes a momentum for you. It becomes a trick and a tool to help you change your consciousness about money. Because then the next step is that that you have to change your whole thoughts about who you are in relationship to money. You know, get over the fear and then know that you are totally, completely entitled to money and all riches of the entire universe just by the fact that you are here, that you exist, that you are a child of God, a child of the universe, whatever. You know, I have no trouble with the God word. I used to when I was younger. It's very hard for me to say God. But now, you know, once I got into it, I love saying God. So I use the God word. I understand a lot of people don't feel comfortable with that, and they want to call it universal intelligence or the supreme source of the universe or, you know, all of those are wonderful. I love all of those. And just pick the one that you want. But whatever euphemism you use for the all that is or the one, know that you are an intricate part of that, and every little piece is the same as the whole. So, by being a piece of that, you are entitled to the whole. You are the same as the whole. Therefore, everything in the universe is yours. And it's the attitude of knowing that, and the acceptance of that knowing that will help change, you know, the overall flow of your life. And I lost my train of thought for a second. So changing your attitude and knowing that you are abundant. You know, there's two ways. I don't care what a person's life situation is right now, and with the counseling that I do and the ascension sessions, I hear all kinds of stories, you know, and some are the third dimensional illusion is very dramatic and very scary for a lot of people. But, you know, whenever Saint Germain is talking to those people and coming through, it's like no matter how bad the story is, it's just an illusion. And it's not who you really are, and it's not what you're really about, and not what you are going to live with forever. You know, it's just a learning experience. It's just a condition that was created by you in the higher realms, you know, with your higher self and all, for you to learn lessons. So you can look at your life in two different ways. You can look at yourself that, you know, that you're the victim and God hates you and you must be a terrible person because look at all the bad stuff that you're involved in and oh, I sinned, or what did I do in a past life, or blah, blah, blah. And you know, and try to struggle to get out of that as a third dimensional being in a third dimensional illusion. Or you can shift your consciousness and the way that you look at things and say, okay, I'm a divine being. I'm perfect. I am everything that the source is. And I'm here in this third dimensional illusion to play out a role. What is this set of circumstances? What am I to do with these set of circumstances? What is the mission? What is the role in this that I'm playing out? And if that shift of consciousness of looking at your life as a mission, and a mission to change it and to be an example for the rest of the world as, okay, yeah, I used to be in that situation that you're in now, but, you know, this is how I got out of it, and helping people and encourage them to get out of it and being the living proof that anything can be overcome through elevated consciousness and higher frequency and vibration, then the drama and trauma of an individual's life becomes one of the world's greatest stories, and it becomes one of empowerment and one of great change and transformation. And that's what we're all really here for, is to turn the third dimensional soap opera into an absolutely divine masterpiece of a life. By, you know, transformation and transmutation and becoming the divine beings that we really are. And, you know, the tricks to doing that, and there's lots of tricks, and tricks are for kids, and we're all kids, or we should be, because, you know, there's very few things in the Bible that I like or agree with, but there's a few little good things here and there. And the reason why I say that is because the Bible that's here now has nothing to do with what was really written. It's been changed and rewritten and reinterpreted so many times to fit the current leader du jour's agenda. All the good stuff's been taken out. All the metaphysical stuff, all the stuff about reincarnation and being a divine being, and astrology and numerology and the goddess and the equality of men and women, and, you know, all of that stuff has been stripped out of it, and it's just left with, you know, hell, fire, and brimstone, and all the don'ts, and all the scary stuff, because that's how the powers that be, for the moment, want to control people. So, but one thing that I do like that is very true is that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you should be like a little child, or be that of the little child. And what that means is to look at things you know, not to run around skipping and you know, playing with bubbles and making bubbles with the soap bubbles and all that, all of that kind of stuff, which is really fun to do if you want to do it, and there's nothing wrong with doing it. But what that really means about be that like the little child is to not have any baggage, to not have any judgments, to not have any preconceived ideas or the jaded attitude of, oh yeah, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, you know, and to look every day at every situation with brand new eyes. And those are the eyes also of present time, of being in the now. When you're in the now and in the moment where life and magic, you know, the changes in life and the magic in life happen, you're not thinking of what happened in the past. You can't be jaded because you're not conjuring up all those past experiences where things didn't turn out the way you wanted them to. You're looking at things just instantaneously for the first time and with the wonderment of a child. Wow, what's this all about? What does this mean? How can I do this and how can I do that? And being very open and a very open heart. Children have tremendously open hearts. They learn to close them and to create the shells and the mask and all of that, like we all did, by life circumstances, by the way things are here in the third dimension. But to be able to, as someone who has gone through all of that stuff that makes us want to close down, to be able to really open up and allow yourself to be new and fresh again, and to trust in the divinity in yourself, and to trust in your own source, you know, to create a life for you, is the way to ascend yourself and the way to raise your frequency and vibration and to become that of the divine aspect that you are. So, but there's, you know, there's tricks along the way, and like the $100 bill one. Is, how do you say your name? Is it Vigela? Vigela? Anyway, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your name, but you said the $100 bill is a great trick. It is. It's a really great trick. And so there's other tricks too, and it just went blank in my head. The $100 bill, the knowing who you are, the staying in present time, and then, oh, I know, here's another one. At the beginning of every month, or whatever day, you know, just pick a day of the month that you're going to write bills out, and write yourself a check. I'm going to pull mine out so I can read it exactly to you. Do this every month. It sounds like it's really stupid. I mean, somebody told me this, and I thought, oh, what does it hurt to do it? And I thought, but, you know, it sounded really stupid. The $100 bill, I could understand that, because that's real intangible. You know, it's a real $100 bill. But this thing of writing a check to yourself, this didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I thought, oh, well, it's harmless, I'll try it. But, you know, it really works. So as you're paying all your bills, writing out your checks for your bills, write out a check to yourself. And on pay to the order of, put your name. And then where the amount of money goes in, don't put a figure, put paid in full. You write paid in full. And then where you write out how many dollars in handwriting and words, also write paid in full. Then in the memo part, write all my dreams in as for what it's for. And then sign it, the law of abundance. For some reason, it works. And then what I started doing, because, you know, I always have to add my little 2 cents to everything, is after I did that for a couple of months, just doing it like that, then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to start writing down what I really want or including things so that I can have this as a proof to me and see how many of the things that I wanted to happen have happened. So on the back of it, then I start writing what I want. Now here's one that I pulled out. Okay, so on the back I wrote, pay off all loans, and I underlined them, buy new house of my dreams, or remodel this house, travel in style, create and manifest new products, fulfill all my dreams, wishes, and desires. Now, that's kind of a cop-out because that's not real specific. You know, those are always subjects to change. But I want you to know that as of today, my 60, and actually it happened a while back, but the $65,000 in credit card debt is totally and completely paid for. I do not owe 1 cent of that. I did not file bankruptcy. I didn't want to file bankruptcy. I wanted to pay it off because I didn't want to, you know, and I have no judgment against people that do file bankruptcy. It's just that for me, I knew that deep inside that I wanted to pay it off, that I needed to pay it off in order to be really clean and, you know, and change. When I went to Europe, I did travel in style. I stayed at a $400 a night hotel in Versailles, but I only had to pay $80 a night for it. And which, you know, that's another form of abundance that and prosperity that sometimes people overlook. People, a lot of people just think of abundance and prosperity as the actual cash that they have available to them. But when you get things for free, or you get things greatly reduced, or you get wonderful opportunities and stuff that are, you know, like the $400 a night hotel for $80. That's a form of abundance. That's the universe giving you things and giving you a wonderful thing. And when I was in England, I was staying at different people's houses, and I was being driven around the country. And you know, that was a form of abundance that really didn't cost me money. I mean, I gave the people presents, and you know, and I took them to dinner, and I did things for them. That because I wanted to give them something, I wanted to reciprocate and stuff, but in a way the universe is just, oh, you want to go to Europe? Okay, well, you pay for this and we'll take care of the rest. And so anyway, your life can really drastically, you know, change. So the $100 bills and the writing yourself a check, but the main thing is the change of consciousness to eliminate total fear about money and to really look at your thought processes and your beliefs, your core belief issues about money and abundance and getting paid what you're worth and doing what you want to do as, you know, as a form of livelihood and all of that. Write things down. You know, go into a little counseling session with yourself and say, I'll use the name Susie again. I always like to use that as the generic, not picking on anybody name. So it's like, okay, Susie, or John, if you're a male, what do you really feel about money? You know, what do you feel that you're worth? What do you feel you should have in life? What do you feel about other people that are wealthier than you? You know, look at all of these things. How do you feel money should be treated? What do you think money is for? How do you think money should be spent? Here, you know, look at and write that down so you can look at it in black and white and see and be very honest. You're just doing this with yourself. So, you know, if you've got some thoughts that maybe you're not really proud of them, go ahead and write them down. You have to acknowledge them. You have to acknowledge your shadow side and bring it into the light. And, you know, and look at them and then start seeing where the bumps are and where the problems lie. And work on those. Bring those into the light. Bring those erroneous, false beliefs that you have about yourself and money into the light. Do the violet flame meditation with them. Put all those beliefs and all those untruths into the violet fire and ask for it to be transmuted. And ask for it to be transmuted into a belief and an acceptance that you are worth as much as you want, that you are totally and completely entitled to everything and anything that you want, and that money is a good thing. Money is energy. Money is a vibration and a frequency that you can utilize to make your life easier and to make the life of other people easier, if that's what you would like to do with it. Another game that's very enlightening and will really kind of show you where you're at and what your values are is the next time, or just, I was going to say the next time there's a big lottery winner, you know, fantasize about that money, but don't wait. Just pick a number. When I was a little girl, I used to pick $1 million and as the number. In these days, $1 million doesn't go very far, so pick, you know, $500 million or $1 billion or whatever, but get a number in your head. And then this little game is, all right, you have 1 year to spend all this money. You have to spend the money. How are you going to spend it? And just sit there and write down, like a balance sheet, how you're going to spend the money and what you're going to do with it. And bring it down to the very last dollar. And you'll see, and I, you know, I've done this little game in my head since I was a little girl, and it was amazing to me to see how my values had changed over the years based upon how I would spend that money. And make it a real thing to your in your life. And as you continue to do this and see where your values are, you might want to make some changes in those values, or you might not. You know, that will be totally up to you. But one thing that this, again, like carrying the $100 bill all the time, is it'll get your mind thinking about you having tremendous wealth. And that becomes a conditioned, as you keep doing that exercise, you know, like every month or every time you think of it or something, you know, pick smaller amounts. It takes a long time to spend $1 billion. Pick, you know, a couple of million or something initially so that you can go through the exercise rather quickly and then increase it and all. But it'll get your mind, you know, used to the fact of how you're going to spend all this amazing amount of money that you have. So that's another little trick. But also, too, to really respect money and to the friend that I almost mentioned last week that I said I didn't want to tell her story, well, I've decided since I'm not going to say her name that I can tell the story. She's always, I've known her for 22 years. For 22 years she's been struggling with money. And she's a smart woman. She's a very capable woman. She has different businesses that she's tried along the way, all of them great ideas, but she still has not quite broken through to being abundant. You know, she's constantly struggling and borrowing money from everybody and then not quite paying that money back and having to borrow money from other people. And you know, it's like the house of cards is getting bigger and bigger and bigger of, you know, all the people that she's borrowed money from and hasn't paid back and all of that. It's really quite a rat maze. And I've been watching her and trying to figure out what, you know, how I could help her to change that whole dynamic in her life, because I'd really love to see her. She's got wonderful ideas of things that she wants to do with money. They're very altruistic. They're really wonderful. And I'd really like to see her succeed. But so over the years, I've been observing where I think the mistakes are in how she's handling things. And it's real subtle, you know. But what I've discovered with her is that she does have a resentment towards anyone else that has money and to anyone that's really making it. It becomes a, well, you know, they make it, why can't I, and why should they make it? And, you know, and it's, she's not, She's not happy that they're doing well. She begrudges the fact that they're doing well because she's not doing well. Well, you have to get over that because we all are one and the same. We all are. So, and that was, I used to have that too. You know, I used to feel that I would be better off rich than the person who was rich because I knew how to spend the money better. And, you know, it's an ego thing and it's a judgment and it's a negative way of looking at things, and it can result in bitterness and envy and jealousy and, you know, and really a path that you don't want to go down. And so I learned to be really happy, and at first I had to fake it, you know, but there's that saying, fake it till you make it, and that's a really true thing. You know, if you keep repeating something over and over again, even if you know you don't really believe it initially, pretty soon, like spending all that money every month in your head, your body and your ego and your personality, the third dimensional part of you, starts accepting the fact that, oh yeah, we really are glad that that person made all that money, you know. So I started becoming really happy for my friends and for anyone that I heard about. If somebody bought a new car, and I'm driving this old beaten up clunker that's, you know, held together with you know, duct tape and WD-40 or something, you know, I would say, oh gosh, I'm so happy, I'm so glad they got that new car, because you know what that means? It means I'm next. To me, every person that got a beautiful new car was just that much closer to me getting it, because we're all one in the, we're all the same, we're all the whole, we're all a part of it. So a part of me got a new car. Wow, I'm going to get one too. And it wasn't necessarily that I wanted a new car, but it's that change in attitude, that change in consciousness, that you are happy and you are glad for other people's success. And that rubs off on you, and it creates that path for success and abundance to come to you by you being grateful and being thankful and for acknowledging with great joy that act of success and receiving something. Same thing with other people's businesses. You know, when someone starts a new business, do everything you can to really encourage them and praise them, and because everything that you do to another, you are really doing to yourself. So by knowing that, even if it's just kind of a stranger, you can just be ecstatic for them, because that means you're being ecstatic for yourself and opening more pathways for that money and that success to come to you. So, and then get very creative about how your money comes into you. And if all possible, create several streams or several sources for money to come to you. Because, you know, if you've got five or six ways for money to reach you, they can all be working for you, and when the economy kind of shifts or the seasons change or whatever, you know, there's always ebbs and flows in any kind of business and good cycles and lesser than good cycles and kind of the up and down, you know, ebb and flow of life. If you've got several streams going, chances are some are going to be ebbing while the others are flowing, and it'll balance out, and you'll have a lot of different ways to come in, you know, for money to come in. And I know a lot of people that I do counseling for, you know, they're working a 9-to-5 job, they're doing something that they really don't enjoy, they're just doing it because it brings in good money, but they really want to do fill in the blank of what you really want to do. But, you know, they don't know how to go about it. They don't know. It of course, is not good common sense or business sense for them to quit their job that's paying all their needs and keeping them going, and say, okay, now I'm going to just do this, you know, because whatever this is generally takes a while to establish. So what Saint Germain always suggests, and he's a great business manager, is to start what you want to do in a small way, initially. Keep your day job, as they would say in show business. Keep your day job and start your healing practice or your massage practice or writing that book or recording music or making peace flags or, you know, whatever it is that you have a desire to do. Do that on the side like a hobby and start it, but do it with the intention of it becoming a business. Do everything everything necessary to do it as a business, but just do it part-time initially and get the word out and get the get customers and get it to build and stuff and just keep working at it, and pretty soon that then will overtake your day job in what's bringing you money, and then you can quit your day job or turn your day job into a part-time job and your what you love as a bigger part-time job, to where it's maybe 60% of your time and your income, and the day job is 40% at that part, and just start phasing things out. And it really happens so much easier that way, and so much sooner, and it's a very natural balance. And you're not cutting off your nose, you know, to try something new. And that works really well. I've done that several times in my life. So and just get creative. Just get an ask. All the creativity is in you, and it's in your higher self, and it's out there in the one. If you want to know about anything, you know, the knowledge is there and you can tap into it through meditation and stuff. Just go into meditation and say, okay, you know, go into the oneness, ask to go into the oneness, and if you want to know about, say you want to do a recording or something, call on Elvis. He's over there. He knows how he did it. You know, let him give you the guidance. Or if you want to talk to Beethoven or Mozart or, you know, tap into that, because it's all that knowledge is floating out there in the collective consciousness, and you can retrieve anything that you want. You can learn anything that you want from the other parts of you, the other people in the universe, still on third dimension or out in the fourth dimension, and just start asking. I mean, God, it's so incredible now with the internet. You can find out anything, just, you know, sitting at home on the computer, and just, you know, put action to work. But be creative. And one thing that I know for sure is that if you have a dream in your head, and if you have a thought of, even no matter how big it is, no matter how grandiose it is, and how impossible it may seem from a third dimensional perspective, from, you know, the third dimensional illusion as it is now, the mere fact that you have that in your head and the mere fact that you can conceive that means that you have the total ability to achieve it. Or else, you wouldn't have that dream. You wouldn't have that concept or that thought. There's a bajillion thoughts to be had. There's a bajillion people. Why did you have that thought? You're probably one of, you know, so in some cases, you're probably the only one that has that thought in that exact same form and shape. Or maybe there's two or three others of you that have it. But not everybody has it. Start asking around. Not everybody has the same dream. So if you have that dream, that is yours to do. And it's yours to decide if you want to step up to the plate and achieve it, or if you want to let it just stay as some unobtainable dream, but you can do it. I don't care what it is. I don't care how big it is. That's how big you are. And you have that dream because you can do it. So that's that. And then the whole thing about being prosperous and being anything, you know, whatever it is about your life that you want to be, you really can make the decision to change your circumstances. And it's not just, I've done this about 3 different times in my life, and it's real hard to put it into words. I've been trying to figure out how to really convey it to people, because, you know, a lot of times we say, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to change my life, or we'll say, I'm tired of not having money, I want to have money for a change, you know, and it's just that, it's just a thought, we're just kind of saying it, it doesn't really latch on to anything, but there's a time or a circumstance where I guess it's a really deep, deep core change. You take yourself very seriously. You mean it very seriously. It's like, no, this isn't just a thought. This is it. This, you know, this is for real. And I choose from this point on to be prosperous. Or I choose from this point on to be healthy. Or I choose from this point on to be fill in the blank, you know, of what you're working on. And when you do that, you feel a shift happening inside you. You feel a shift in your vibration, and you know that, okay, this time, this is really it. There's a difference, and that's what I can't explain, because it's a subtle thing, it's a feeling. But I know that it can be done, and I know that when you do that, when you really make that deep, deep determination, not just a wish, not just a gosh, I'd like to, but I am and I will, you know, from this moment on, blah, 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 it works, and there's something that happens within you. You can almost feel your cells rearranging themselves and just kind of going quick, 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 or like the domino effect, you know, of everything just kind of falling and in a pattern, and you feel different, and from that moment on, whatever you said is true, and your life then starts going in that direction. That's how powerful we are as beings, that we can literally, actually do that. So make the decision. It's like a decision. That's it. That helps me at least. I think I'm explaining it better. You make the decision. I decide from this point on to be fill in the blank of what you want. And to see what it's like to be whatever you want the change to be. Like we've been talking about financial stuff. So look for the lesson why you wanted to be struggling financially. Look and ask your inner self, ask your inner guidance, okay, what's the lesson here? Why was this created? What am I to learn from this? Find out what the lesson is and say, okay, I got it now. I know what the lesson is. I no longer need to have these circumstances because I've received the lesson from it. And then you can say, now I'd like to learn the lessons I'd like to have the experience of the opposite. You know, having so much money, I don't know what to do with it. I'd like to see what that feels like. You know, okay, God, I'd like that for a learning process. I'd like to know what are the benefits and the downside and the inside out about being a multimillionaire. I want that experience. And because you've asked for it, and you've asked for it in a way that is for your highest good to learn, the universe has to give it to you. It absolutely has to. So we've got 4 minutes left, a little bit, almost 5 minutes. So I'm going to do the Violet Flame invocation really, really quick, okay? So, because, you know, Saint Germain gets mad at me if I don't do it. I'm only teasing, but I want people to really know about the Violet Flame because it changes your life so incredibly. So the four steps, for those that have heard this before, as a reminder, and for those that haven't heard this before, there's four steps to this process. And once you know the four steps, the words are immaterial. You can just fill in the blanks and just say anything that you want that creates those four steps and personalize it. And it's most important to say what you feel in your heart than worry about memorizing what I'm going to say or fancy words or anything. So the four steps are, step one, you visualize the violet flame above your head, and it just looks like fire, only it's shades of purple and lavender and violet and a little bit of pink. You ask the violet flame to come into your body and to spread through your entire body. That's step one. Step two is to keep the violet flame within your body, but now ask it to also come out through your heart chakra and wrap around you, encompassing your emotional, mental, and spiritual body as well. So step two, you are now with the violet flame in you, and you're sitting in a big egg shape of violet flame as well. Step three is to then ask for all that you wish to be transmuted to be transmuted. You can list them by subject, you know, I want to transmute poverty, I want to transmute anger, I want to transmute this, that, or whatever. Or you can say simple things like anything and everything that is preventing you from achieving your goals or being the ascended being that you are or being, you know, in perfect harmony with the universe or, you know, whatever you want. And then the fourth one is to take the stuff that has been transmuted, the stuff that's standing in your way, and turn that, transmute it into something positive. And the one that I have is the kind of general catch-all golden light of the Christ consciousness. It's a pretty good catch-all. Because when you are a Christed being, you have anything and everything that you want just by the mere thought of it. So everyone kind of center yourself. Let's do a quick in-and-out breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Do it three times. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And so imagine those four steps as I'm saying these words. Just follow the words and they'll lead you through that. Mighty I Am Presence, beloved God, my heavenly source, please make manifest in me now the sacred violet flame of transmutation. Bring the violet flame into every cell, molecule, and atom of my body, filling me totally and completely. Blessed violet flame, blaze into my heart and expand out around all of my bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, surrounding my entire being with your divine grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Transmute all karma, negative thoughts, actions, deeds, and energy that I have ever created at any time, in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, for all eternity. Transmute anything and everything that stands in my way of embodying the ascended Christ being that I am. Beloved violet flame, turn all that has been transmuted into the golden light of God, the Christ consciousness, the light of God that never fails. Send this golden light to me now, filling and surrounding my entire body with its divine radiance, raising my vibration and frequency to the highest level possible for me at this time. So be it, so it is. Thank you, God. Amen. I said it really fast because I wanted to finish it. I've got 23 seconds. You can find a downloadable Word doc with illustrations and those words on my website, ascensionstgermain.com. And I'll see you next week. Please please do your violet flames at least twice a day, morning and night. It will change your life faster than anything you can imagine. And violet blessings until next week. Bye-bye.